Another person joining us next week for the live broadcast of the Dawn Chorus is our reporter Terry Flanagan. He won't be travelling far. He's going to stick the microphone out his bedroom window because in his front garden he has got, depending on which collective noun for a group of sparrows you choose yourself, he has got a crew, a flutter, a host, a quarrel. I think a quarrel is the best name. A tribe, a ubiquity of sparrows. Here's Terry to tell us more about his sparrows.
When it comes to watching or listening to our wildlife, we don't have far to go. I remember many years ago Don Conroy saying, if you want to see wildlife, look up in the sky, you'll always see a bird, be it a gull or a jackdaw or whatever. Well, I only have to go out of my front door to observe my birds. Yes, my birds, that's what I call them. They're sparrows and they live in the hedge. And they love a thorny hedge or an evergreen hedge. So something like a firethorn or a cotone aster is an ideal habitat for them. Now, lots of people just ignore the sparrows. Little brown jobbies, they're often referred to as. They don't have much going for them. They're not as colourful as the robins or the chaffinches, and they don't have a beautiful song like a thrush or a blackbird. Just that constant chattering. They're called house sparrows because of their close association with man. In Ireland, they had their heyday, I suppose, in the early 19th century. That's when we had the greatest number of people and horses. Yes, horses. You see, sparrows feed on seeds and grain. And back then, there was an abundance of spillage from nosebags, and there was plenty of undigested seeds to be found in the droppings of the horses. And yes, horses were very common in cities then, but not today. The real stronghold now is in the suburban garden. So why have their numbers crashed? Well, apart from a fewer number of horses, there are a few theories. Additives in lead-free petrol, particles in diesel exhaust, and of course predation by, well, sparrowhawks. Yes, there has been an increase in the number of sparrowhawks, but we don't think that's the real answer. More recent research points back to the diet again. Adults, they feed on seeds, like I said. But for the first few days of their lives, the young need insects. They need the protein in the insect's body to develop properly. And there's been a huge decrease in insects, leading to a decline in sparrows in our cities. So those of us in suburban areas should cherish our sparrows. Although many of us ignore sparrows because of their drab colouring, if you actually look closely at them, and you can get very close to them because they are quite tame. Look at the males. They've got that beautiful black bib and grey head. And the females, they're beautifully camouflaged. Those subtle colours, those beautiful tones of browns. Unlike robins or blackbirds who set up breeding territories, sparrows like to live together. We refer to them as colonial nesters. Now, you can put up a nest box for them. It's a different type of nest box that you'd put up for a blue tit. It's referred to as a terraced nest box. It's got three or four different compartments, and each of them would take a pair of sparrows. I should say they're very promiscuous. They will pair off for one or more seasons, but they're well known for having a bit on the side. DNA research shows that 15% of offspring are the result of either the cock or hen mating with another partner. Now, as for the nest itself, well, it's a very untidy structure. It's often composed of paper or wool or bits of plastic or straw or string. Not very neat. Generally, they have three clutches, each with 3 to 5 eggs. The incubation lasts about 11 days and they fledge 14 days or so later. Although sparrows don't migrate, traditionally they moved from suburbia to more rural settings in autumn. The idea of this was to take advantage of the grain crops. I'm lucky here, mine stay all year. They nest in the hedge or under the gutter, and because I feed the birds in winter, they stay all year round. They've no problem coming to the feeders. They love nuts and sunflower seeds, and when you look at the beak, it's ideally suited to feeding on seeds. I'm just watching one here at the moment, and he's having a dust bath. And it's under the hedge, right in the corner, and it uses the walls for protection. And the whole idea of this is to remove parasites. So instead of bathing in water, they bathe in dust, And the dust irritates these parasites. And because it's situated where it is there in the corner, it's very well protected from predators, ground predators, or maybe a sparrow hawk. And every so often, I hear a right commotion in the hedge, just like I'm hearing now. All hell seems to break loose, and they just seem to ignore us humans. It's presumably some fight over something or other, and they all have their say, but it's lovely to listen to it. I must say, I certainly appreciate my sparrows. They may not be the most colourful birds, or they may not be the best singers, but there's a special feeling or bond that I have with them. It's important that we continue to be aware of their overall population decline and to do what we can to increase their numbers. Yes, feeding is important, but why not try to cut down on our use of pesticides so that we can enjoy this wonderful sound in the garden?